Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. Coming up, we're going to show you how to get out of a post-vacation funk.
Plus, we discuss some drama at Reddit and Apple Watch satisfaction surveys.
And I will show you how to use this to peer into the brains of your automobile.
All that and more on iOS Today.
iOS Today is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform, with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit Lynda.com/iOS today. That's LYNDA.com/iOS today. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at Gazelle.com. Welcome, welcome, welcome to me. I'm back.
Yes, welcome back. You are back from vacation. You were gone 3 weeks.
Who did the show besides you when I wasn't here?
Georgia Dow and Renee Ritchie, both
nice.
From iMore. Yes.
Thank you.
Both
of them are experts.
We made some do-it-yourself iPad and iPhone cases, which you should definitely check that out.
Did it involve toilet seat covers?
No, but it involved glitter.
Ooh.
Lots of glitter.
A little bling,
That's
huh?
That's what happens when you go away. So I thought today would be a great topic, how to get back on track after your vacation. I came up with some apps that are going to help you get back on track for your eating and your work. Apps really kind of show me that you might still be on vacation.
I still am on vacation. That's exactly right. Actually, the first thing I come back with, and probably most people do, is a lot of pictures. I took 1,400 pictures of our river cruise through Germany, Austria, and Hungary. And now I use Lightroom. I love Lightroom. But I had some interesting strategies. Remember, I was kind of saying, what should I do during the trip? And this was the first trip I've taken since Google came out with Google Photos. So I decided to use that as my backup strategy. So each night as I'd get back from a day of shooting hundreds of pictures, the pictures were on my SLR camera. Now, in my case, the camera I use, the Sony, and many cameras now do this, have Wi-Fi on the camera. Olympus does this as well. So I was able to connect to the Wi-Fi on my phone, automatically copy all the pictures off. Now, they're not full quality. They're just kind of thumbnail JPEGs, but get all the pictures off. And then I would leave the phone on overnight using the Wi-Fi on the ship, not 3G data as I travel, but using the Wi-Fi on the ship to copy it up to Google. So all my photos were on Google Photos. That just gave me peace of mind that I wasn't going to lose anything.
Right.
But then I get home, and now I want to process the full quality pictures. So I import all the photos into Lightroom. That's what I use at home. Lisa, who is much more organized than I is. I actually brought her MacBook with her and had Lightroom on it. Uh-huh. And every night she'd get back and she'd do the pictures. She'd post them.
Yeah.
So each day on the Life of Lisa blog, she had her photos. Me, I'm still working on my 1,400 photos. But here's one way that you can use your iPad to make that easier.
Okay.
If you are a Creative Cloud subscriber, and I do recommend Adobe's Creative Cloud subscription, if you're a photographer, for Lightroom and Photoshop, it's $10 a month. And you get both Photoshop and Lightroom always up to date. That's nice. Plus, you get this additional feature. You can select a collection in Lightroom. In my case, the collection was our trip. And tell Lightroom to automatically sync that to Creative Cloud. Then when you put Lightroom, which is a free app on, it's not free on your desktop, but it is free on your iPad, and you connect it up to the Creative Cloud, you log into your Adobe account, all of your pictures are there. So here's 1,354 photos. Didn't take much time for me to get it on the iPad, of pictures I took on the cruise. Now, why would you want to do this? You know, admittedly, this isn't Lightroom for the desktop. You're not going to probably want to do a lot of adjustments. But one thing you might want to do is figure out which pictures you want to keep and which pictures you want to reject. And make that very easy.
She looks a little bit like Mary Tyler Moore.
Isn't that
I love that.
You know, I said that to her. I said,
she needed a hat.
Who can turn the world on with a smile? She said, what are you talking about? She doesn't know. She didn't know who Mary Tyler Moore was. So you can see I could flag it. There's a quick double tap to flag it, or you can use these little indicators at the bottom. You can rate it. you know, and this is something photographers go through. And there even are some simple adjustments you can make. They have some simple editing, not full Lightroom style editing, but simple editing you can do to the photos as you go through them. You can crop them. A lot of times cropping is something that I do right away before I do any other adjustments. So that's kind of reasonable. You can also, if some of your photos are coming out rotated, you can rotate it, that kind of thing. You can also do some simple adjustments. And by the way, those will go back into Lightroom. So that's kind of nice, automatically sync up to Lightroom. But mostly I find this valuable because I can swipe through pictures, reject them or accept them depending on whether I like them or not. And it saves me a lot of time. When you have 1,400 photos, the first thing you need to do is figure out which few dozen are good enough to keep. So I highly recommend, if you take a lot of photos, the Lightroom Creative Cloud subscription that's 10 bucks a month, and then you can put Lightroom on your iPad and quickly scan through your photos, pick the ones you like, and discard the ones you don't care about. That really saves you a lot of time. So that's my pick. What do you got?
Excellent. Well, my pick is a little more about productivity.
Oh, forget that. That's just photo productivity. This counts.
Did you get a lot of emails while you were gone?
I did.
I know we've talked about email productivity software before, and you know we've talked, gone back and forth about Inbox Zero. While you were gone, I achieved Inbox Zero, and I have
Show
kept
off.
It for... I will brag about it. But that's because I think everyone should do it. It's such a weight off my shoulders.
Yeah.
And, you know, I follow the three-step, you know, the, you know, do it. If you can do it within 5 minutes, just do whatever comes in the email. If you wanted someone else to do it, you delegate. And delegating also means to yourself.
Okay.
So that you can put it in a folder,
task
folder. Yep. So
yep.
Delegate to someone else or delete.
Okay.
And, you know, you shouldn't be afraid of deleting emails or just archiving them. They're still there. So I found an app that was really helpful. It's called Zero. Have you heard of this app?
No.
It is the best way to go through a bunch of email that I've ever found. It's a free app. It works with Gmail or Yahoo or, you know, mostly webmail apps. So here it is on my screen. And this is just called my mail feed. So these are my emails. And I've read that. This is the rundown. I just sweep it up to archive it. Here's something from Charity Miles. I don't need that. Here's a little reminder. I don't need that. I don't need that. So I'm just archiving. It couldn't be easier. It's just super easy to just go through and archive your email. And then if there's something that I need to read, here's this email from Carly. It's important. I need to read it. So I just click the star, and it stays in my inbox. So here's what my interview tonight. I need to move that to Tech News Tonight. So I click the folder, and
boy,
I
that's nice.
Put
just
it
go through
in
a left
folder.
Like that is so fast.
And here is, I'll just stick it in that folder. So it's super easy, and then I can actually look at my inbox, which is there, and see what I have there.
Do you do vacation senders, you know, that kind of thing?
No, because I check my email on vacation.
Oh, you shouldn't do that. So one tip, and it's really not an app, but if you use a program, let me log into my Gmail here. Don't show this yet. But if you use Gmail or many Outlook will do this, will let you set up a vacation responder. So in Gmail, I set up a vacation responder. They actually make it pretty easy to do. In settings, let's see, I don't want the app. I'm going to go to the mobile site here. And I'm going to go to my Gmail settings, which are here, I think. Wow, you know, this browser makes it very... Oh, there it is. Okay, here we go. Oh, I'm in some... Okay, here it is. Vacation Responder. There we go. So I'm in Gmail, and you'll see, you can show this now. I can turn on my Vacation Responder, see? And you could say what the start date, this is when we left, and what the actually this is now, and what this, and then you can say what the email would be. This is what I wrote. Thanks for your email. I'm out of the country with limited access through July 14th. I didn't say I'll get back to you because I don't plan to. And then you can choose whether to send this to people in your contacts or everybody. Remember, now you're going to get a lot of email. We all do from people
right.
we don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to respond to spam,
right.
so I'm saying only people who are in my contacts. But and it only sends it once a week. So that way, if somebody sends me an email, look, internet access wasn't easy
yeah.
in this case. So it was good to have a vacation responder
right.
on
yeah.
and say, I'm not going to be able to see your email until I get back on
right.
July 14th.
Yeah, because it used to be you couldn't. It just went out to everybody. So I wouldn't want everybody to
this
know
is perfect.
That I was gone. But yeah, that
so
is
So if
good.
You use Gmail, this is how to do it in the Gmail app. Many other email apps will do something similar to that. But I think that's a great feature, and I recommend it. That way you don't have a million inbox messages to answer when you get back.
There were a few questions in the chat room about some things I said. Archiving, it just means that it's still there. You can search it.
That's unique to Gmail.
Yeah.
And I like that. Gmail will give you the choice of deleting it permanently, but they give you so much storage. Their whole idea of Gmail is never throw anything out.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in an archive. You won't see it. It's not going to show up in any inbox unless you explicitly look at the archive, but you continue to just search through it.
Right.
That way, if you threw out an email that you maybe wanted to get back, it's in the archive.
Yeah.
So I always archive.
Right. The other thing is, a lot of people say, well, I use my my Gmail or my email inbox as my to-do list. And I used to say that, too. I think that is exhausting because every time you look at your email inbox, it's just like there's spam. There's, requests from, my daughter's soccer coach. There's requests from you. It's all mixed in there together. And I like it sorted away. It's like the same thing as clutter in your house. But with clutter in your house, once you get rid of it, you really get rid of it. So that's why we hang on
to
stuff.
You're so cute.
But with what?
Because what you neglect to mention is that as soon as you do this, tomorrow, your inbox is inflated
again. Okay, so you devote 5 minutes, 10 minutes,
you gotta
30
keep doing
minutes,
this
whatever
forever.
It is that it takes. Every day, do it. You will feel better. It's like a practice. It's like exercise. It's like eating well. I don't know.
I can't do that either. So if you say it's like eating well, then I understand.
Well, you have an app now, and then I am going to have another app that will help you
eat well.
Yes.
I gained 5 pounds on that cruise. Lisa lost 5 pounds.
I know. I was going to say, someone else who went on that cruise and did exactly what you did.
I've showed you this before. This is actually a great thing to have. You do take pictures on a cruise. Maybe you post them on Instagram or whatever. This is a program called Postgram. And what it lets you do is, without any printer, you can do this on your trip from your phone or your iPad. You can actually create... let's not do notifications. Create a physical paper postcard and then send it. So let's add a photo. I don't know. Let me add a photo of you here. Well, no, let's not. That was a bad idea because then I have to take this out of the stand and everything.
You got photos in there.
I'll just take something from my photo album.
Or from your vacation.
Okay. You know one of the things they're famous for in Hungary? Goulash.
Ooh.
This is an empty bowl of goulash.
Yeah, I saw that on Instagram.
I ate it all, and it was good. And you add the hot pepper, the paprika, and man, you got something wonderful. So I should send you a postcard of
goulash.
The goulash.
Yes.
I can even add a message, having a wonderful time, wish you were goulashed, that kind of thing. And then you get a physical card. Now, what's cool about this is... You see, there's a barcode on here. Mm-hmm. By the way, you pay ahead of time with credits. It's roughly a buck per postcard. But it's a really fun way to get pictures from your trip out there right away. Instead of the traditional postcard, it's your pictures.
Mm-hmm.
The barcode on here, they can scan it, and that will let them post you a message and download the photo. So if they don't want a physical copy, they don't have to get it. And then when they get this postcard, they'll get it all printed out. But this picture is perforated. In fact, here's one Lisa tore out from my last Postgram. I sent her one, thinking of you, on January 21st. By the way, puts a picture of you. That's back when I was bald. And then she's already torn it out. So it was right here, just like that.
Is it a magnet?
No, it's not a magnet, but you could glue it to something and pretend it's a magnet. So it's kind of fun because you're getting a paper picture. These are well printed, you can see, and you're getting a paper picture instead of a printed postcard that's canned. That's not really your experience. So I think it's really fun. This is Postgram from Sincerely. We've mentioned it before, but
here's another one.
Look at this. Here's Tony or somebody. Yeah, Tony got one from Brian, and. It's not, he says, a big poster, but it'll do. And then you can scan it. You got the picture. You can perforate it. And it goes through the mail, pre-sorted and everything. So it's really a clever way to do this. I love it. Postgram.
Yeah.
And if you love taking pictures, but you also want to share those pictures, thank you, Tony.
Directly to someone.
You can see Lisa had this. We had to actually tear it from her wall because she put that up on the wall.
Yes. All right. Well, as I promised an app that would help you...
Lose weight?
Yes.
Okay.
This one... Well, I have two health apps. I'm going to start with the more simple one.
You're very healthy.
I try to be.
Yeah,
I try
you're very,
to be.
You're a healthy eater.
So, as you know, one of my favorite things about the Apple Watch, I know everyone doesn't love it, is the reminder to stand up every hour. Mm-hmm. I need it because you're back to work. You're aiming for inbox zero. Mm-hmm, you're mm-hmm. at your desk for 3 hours straight. You need a reminder to stand up. Mm-hmm. And I like the Apple Watch, but not everybody has an Apple Watch. So there's an app called Stand Up that does the same thing for your phone.
That's all you need.
Right. It's not like the Apple Watch takes care of your movement. It sometimes knows if you're standing up.
Well, that's the problem is you could be exercising and the Apple Watch would tell you stand up.
Sometimes it does. Maybe it's got a little bit better. So I'm showing this on the iPad. Probably you would use it on the iPhone. So you can actually decide when you want the reminder. So, and per day.
That's the other thing that's funny about the Apple Watch. It's always 10 to the hour. So everybody with Apple Watches all stands up at the same time. We need to stagger this.
Yes. So if Sunday you don't want to be reminded at all, you know, maybe Saturday you don't want to be reminded at all. On Wednesday, you know, you want to be reminded every 20 minutes. And, you know, you can do it at work. It's a free app, and in-app purchases are these alerts you can buy, you know, but yeah, I don't know if you need that. If you want to be alerted in a different way. Then
that's cool.
Pretty simple. It works on your watch, too, which you're going to have to turn those notifications off because for a while I was getting notifications
Stand up again.
But maybe I don't think there is a way to adjust how often. So maybe you really need to stand up every 10 minutes.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it is not. So, so as you're head down, doing all your work, getting to inbox zero, as I know you will, Leo, and mm-hmm. you there, too, out mm-hmm. there. This is a good app to remind you. It's good and helpful.
All right, what's the other one? Show me another app. I want to be, unless you want me to do one.
I want you to do one.
Really? Okay. Well, so yes. Here's an app. This is another one you should do when you get back from vacation. I always wait until I'm about to leave on a trip to pack. Now, I'm not suggesting you pack for your next trip now, but it's a great idea to kind of remember the things that you did wrong right after the trip. So that you go, next time I got to remember to bring extra contact lenses, or I brought the contact lenses but not the solution. Mm. So I looked for, and in fact, I used a number of different packing apps before the trip, but I found this to be the best one, especially for after the trip. It's called Packing Pro. It's not free, $2.99, and they do have some in-app purchases, themes, thing additional lists you don't need.
When are we going on a Bahamas cruise?
Well, I thought we should go soon. And so here's what happens when you make a list, and we'll make a new list. They give you a bunch of templates. You can do it from an existing list, or you can use one of their sample lists. Notice it's male, female, light packer, super light packer. Mm. You could say we're going camping, we're going on a business trip. You can, of course, start from scratch. You can import lists. And they'll even give you expert help, so you can say how many adults, how many kids, how many children, the temperature where we're going, the destination, who's making dinner, that kind of thing. So I made a list for our Bahamas cruise. And it is not just a list for what to pack, but it's what to do before you go. Buy travel insurance. Buy air ticket.
That was all there. You didn't make
this
that
This is
list.
All there. This comes with the list. Oh. And you can add more very easily. What documents you should bring. The thing that I liked about this, and I actually had to look around to find something that would let me do this, is it will also allow me to add specific things. So, for instance, these are the essentials, clothing and so forth. If I'm going to bring accessories, they give you generic things like shampoo, toothbrush, but I might want to be more specific, particularly when it comes to gadgets. So they give you iPhone, iPod Touch, but they didn't give you iPad. So easy enough. I can either pick from a catalog, or I can do it by hand, and I can add a new item type. And let's say it is a utility. We've already got a few in there. And let's add a new type if we want, and we'll call this computers. So that'll go in the utility category. And then the new item will be iPad. In fact, you might even be able to want to say iPad mini, because I'm going to be traveling. And so the list is very customizable, which I really like. It allows you to add stuff to the list. I just added all of those items to my list. I didn't mean to, but that's all right. Things like USB drives, USB adapters.
Your hair dryer.
So lots of suggestions here. And I think the best time to kind of put this list, or at least start this list, is right after you come back when the lessons learned. You know, I forgot a few things I should have had. I brought too many of some other things I didn't need, like long pants. So all of that is nice to incorporate into a list. And now I've got this for my Bahamas trip.
Right. Did you make sure to pack your lederhosen for your Bahamas trip?
I don't think I'll be bringing the lederhosen to the Bahamas, but Now that you mention it, I really, under shorts, I should probably add Lederhosen.
And if anyone wants to see Leo in Lederhosen, please watch the screensavers from this Saturday. Because
I think I make
amazing.
Lederhosen look pretty darn good.
Yeah, I think you really do.
Nice, a lot of nice features in here. Like, for instance, when you're packing for a family, you could say who this is for. Am I going to pack for me or for my son? Which bag it goes into? All sorts of stuff. This is, in some ways, maybe overcomplicated. But boy, it sure is a great, it's the best packing list. And I've tried literally half a dozen of them. It's called Packing Pro, $2.99. And I kind of recommend it. Let's give them credit.
Totally
the company, let's see where if I can find the
company. Because I have packing anxiety. I always feel like I'm going to forget
me
something.
Too.
And then I bring too much.
Oh, and that's exactly it. I overpack because I don't want to miss something. Mm-hmm. But then I had, so Lisa had a 30-pound bag. I had a 60-pound bag. Mm. Overpacking, not good. Mm-hmm. I couldn't lift it.
Yeah.
So Packing Pro, highly recommended. I didn't find the company's name, but we'll put it, you know what, we'll put it in the show notes so you can just click on the link.
Yes. All right, so now we're going to talk about health, more than just standing up. So I found an app called Fujucate, like educate,
really?
But with food.
Really?
If you've ever used MyFitnessPal, it's similar to that.
I used that on the trip, and so did Lisa.
And it was helpful?
Well, that's how we logged what we ate. Well, that's how she logged what we ate.
Right.
I would just look at
that's
it.
That's how she... And yeah, so we had this conversation about just the other day, Lisa and I did, you know, and she's like, I just do it. It's part of my routine.
She's really good at
She is really good at it. And I used to do it, and then I just fell out
habit.
Of practice. And then, and I just, every time I look at the MyFitnessPal, I'm just like, you know.
Because you log exercise, you log food, and she would do things like, well, I need another 300 calories so I can eat that soccer tort, so I'm going to walk an extra hour on the treadmill.
Right.
And that really worked.
Yeah. And it is hard because now we do have the activity tracker, those of us who have Apple Watches. So, you know, I like to see how many calories that I burn in a day, but it really has no bearing into what I eat. Like, the watch has no idea if I just ate 3 chocolate cakes for lunch. It's giving me an award for burning 500 calories, but it doesn't know what goes in. So I like Fujucate because I'm sick of MyFitnessPal. I just got bored of it. It's like, you know...
This is pretty.
It is pretty.
And is it iPhone only?
It is. It's not for the iPad. Yeah. But it's good because, you know, you have your iPhone, you're carrying it around. Oh, and, well, yes. It's also on the Apple Watch.
Oh!
Which is great.
Okay.
And I like the Apple Watch app better than the MyFitnessPal app, which also is an Apple Watch app.
That's one thing we're really excited about this fall when the new Apple Watch operating system comes out. Finally, these apps will be able to be just for the watch.
Right.
They won't. The watch won't be kind of like just subsidiary to the app. You'll be able to put those apps on directly.
So it's got the health tracker, and it connects to the health app, so it knows. So I added all this food for my breakfast, and it knows how much exercise I've done. Like, it found that
a nice
I burned
breakfast. Chips and salsa.
I know that's my secret. I don't like breakfast food. I'm a savory, and I also had some veggie protein sausages with it. And that was a lot of calories, but I burned 300 of them, and I didn't have to enter the calories. It just, my watch just synced with
knows.
That. Yes, it knows. And here's how many I have
left.
See,
that's what I want. MyFitnessPal, I don't think we'll do that. So, will it do that
It will sync with the Apple Watch, but not as easy. Like, it doesn't, I wanted it to automatically do it, and it didn't.
It should just go in there.
Yeah. So, and here's, you know, yesterday. And also what I like is there's the health tracker, there's the food finder.
How complete is the food list? That's one of the things
that is, so MyFitnessPal has a lot more food if you're scanning the barcode. Both of them let you take pictures of barcodes.
Right.
A couple of the foods that I looked at in Fujucate weren't there, but it made it really easy to add them. All you had to do was take a picture of the front, take a picture of the calories list, take a picture of the ingredients list, like the food information and the ingredients list, and then it automatically sent an email and it said, you know, they'll get back to you.
So they're going to add it to their database over time.
Yeah. So it also gives food grades, which I like those, you know, you probably saw that these tortilla chips got a B minus, the feta cheese got a C, the salsa got a B minus. Look at that.
D plus
for my veggie sausages.
Well, who are these people and why don't they like veggie sausages?
Well,
I'd like
fattening.
To know.
That's why they're
fattening.
Hugely fattening.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But they're good. And I have the community section, which
that's
you know,
where people can bug you and say,
lose weight. Yeah, talk to other people losing weight. Recipes, a daily tip really like. Yeah, I love it. So let me show you real quick the Apple Watch app on here, which actually lets you add calories. So there, let me show you. There we go. It's that little peach or pineapple whatever that is. Yeah. So here I was.
Oh, so it's very simple. You could only add calories.
Right, basically. But MyFitnessPal doesn't let you do that. So it shows me my 500 calorie breakfast, my 300 calorie run, I guess the food points. And then how much sugar, and see, then I'll have to, you know, force
touch. You don't have to just enter calories.
Well, the log food.
Oh, I see. You enter the other stuff, too.
Yeah, so you can,
That's handy.
That's my...
And, you know, as you do these food logs, it does get easier because you start to learn that, a fistful of rice is 130 calories.
Right, yes. And that kind of. Here's my lunch I'm going to eat, that... some garlic noodles.
And you can scan that?
Yeah, you just scan the barcode in it.
See, I try not to eat food with barcodes on them.
I know, you've said that before. Yeah. It's true. It is true. Better to eat.
But that's why these things are less useful for me, because I have to manually figure out, what's in that goulash, right?
Yeah, not everything I eat. There was some spinach with my veggie sausages.
You didn't get it in there.
No, I didn't. It's
you know
true.
Why?
But I could add it. I'm sure spinach is in there.
It's low calorie. You want to put as much spinach in there
That's
as you can.
That's true. Yeah. So, Fooducate or MyFitnessPal. MyFitnessPal is owned by
Under Armour,
who also bought Endomondo.
Own everything.
Yeah.
Now.
So if you already use something that might be better for you, but try it out.
I'm going to try Fooducate.
Yeah, Fooducate. It's
though I
free,
hate the
but
name.
They're pro. Pro features.
Fooducate.
I love to say Fooducate.
Fooducate. All right, maybe I don't hate the name.
Yeah.
It's kind of growing on me.
Mm-hmm.
Fooducate.
Yep. All right, so that is how to get back on track after your vacation or stay on vacation in Leo's case. That was a good packing because you should plan your next vacation.
The best way to get over a vacation
is to plan your,
next vacation.
Because, mm-hmm.
You're sad, you're going back to work, but then you have something to look forward mm-hmm. to. So we immediately planned 16 more cruises.
Yep.
I think I'm ready.
And I will go on whichever ones I'm invited on.
You're not invited on any of them because you have to stay here and do the show.
That's true.
Somebody's got to work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, it's probably time for me to do some
speaking
work.
Speaking of work.
I don't think it's work when I talk about Lynda.com. Lynda.com is amazing. In fact, I brought Lynda.com on my trip. You could do that, With your Lynda.com membership, you can put your tutorials, your videos, they have thousands of them, on your device, your Android or iOS device. So on the plane, on the boat, wherever you are, even if you don't have internet access, you can watch and learn. Lynda.com is the learning platform. 3,000 on-demand video courses. I think humans are naturally curious. Humans love to learn. It's something satisfying, even on vacation, about, learning how to use Lightroom better or take better photographs. Or, a lot of us, believe it or not, my hobby is computer programming. A lot of us are very interested in making apps. Lynda.com is a great place to go to learn that. Up and running with Node.js. That's what we wrote our new website in, so I need to know that. Building data-driven apps with the iOS SDK and SQLite. There's a fantastic multi-course series called The Code Clinic, and it's great because they look at common challenges, common problems, and then they'll show you how to code it in different languages. Kind of a little bit like our own Coding 101. They do C++, C#, Java, PHP, Python, Ruby. They even just added entries for JavaScript, C#, which is a very hot language right now, and Swift, Apple's latest programming language. The neat thing about this, unlike KnowHow, you've got written transcripts. You can search the transcripts. They chunk it up into small chunks so you can learn at your own pace, either watch it from beginning to end or just consume it in bite-sized pieces, even just find the answer to a particular question, which happens to me all the time with Photoshop. Oh, and speaking of Photoshop, they've got tutorials by the best, including the wonderful Burt Monroy. You pay one low price. You get access to all the courses in every subject, even things like negotiating a better salary or applying for a job. They've got everything there. LYNDA.com. We've got a 10-day trial, so you can really, kick the tires, see what's there. Look at that. Teaching kids to program with iOS. Isn't that great? Looks like Zach's learning that. Are you learning that, Zach? Is that yours?
That's mine.
Wow. That's cool.
For the kids.
Is it for you or for your kids?
It's for the kids.
I see.
The
I see,
kids.
You got an hour. You got an hour in on that. That's gone. That's great. LYNDA.com. Do it for the kids. LYNDA.com/iOS today. Your free 10-day trial awaits you. Look at that stuff. I am admiring you, Zach. You're really trying to learn and grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's really great. That's what Lynda's all about. LYNDA.com/iOS today.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what's gone on in the week in iOS land. We said we were going to talk about Reddit, and someone in the chat room said, what does that have to do with iOS?
Well, we have a subreddit.
We have an iOS Today subreddit, and as you know, those people who haven't been following it, I'll give you the quick version. One of the people that worked at Reddit, Victoria Taylor, she was director of marketing or director of communications.
She was in charge of the AMA.
She got these famous people to come, and she was a great supporter to the mods, who are these unpaid people that support Reddit, that keep it moving, and she was fired, and they were upset, and so they closed down many subreddits and just showed, here's what the power that we have.
Yeah.
And so now there's just been a mess, and they're kind of going back and forth about what do we believe, what's free speech?
Their CEO, Ellen Powell, left. They brought back Steve Huffman, was one of the guys who wrote the original code, along with Alexis Ohanian. Both Steve and Alexis, when they'd started Reddit, said it's going to be a bastion of free speech. And for many years, anything went at Reddit. You remember Reddit got a lot of attention mm-hmm. during the nude photo
iCloud hack. Yeah,
hack. Mm-hmm. If you wanted those nude photos, you'd go to Reddit to get them. And the problem is that Reddit was for some time owned by Condé Nast, the big magazine publisher. They spun it off. Nevertheless, they've got investors. They're trying to, make a living selling advertising, and it's a challenge for them because, on the one hand, I do believe Steve and Alexis believe in free speech, and certainly many of the community members who work for free on Reddit believe in free speech, but they also have this duty to their investors who don't want to see some of the really reprehensible, and there is really reprehensible stuff.
There really is.
Still on Reddit.
Yes.
So Steve on Thursday made some rules. We'll see how they enforce those rules. But I have to admit, even as I'm hearing this and we're on vacation, I'm thinking, well, what do we want to do? Because a number of our shows have subreddits, mm-hmm. including this show.
Yeah.
Do we want to stick around or do we want to pull back? And I think we want to stick around. But I think we want to hear from you, our audience. But the reason we have subreddits for this show and others is because that's where the community is. There are lots of people who watch these shows who are on Reddit and who participate in our subreddits. And that's great.
Right.
Some have said, and I have to be, and I'm sensitive to this, any participation in Reddit is support, tacit support, for these really bad Reddit subreddits, offensive subreddits. On the other hand, I'm a big believer in free speech. And really, free speech is only meaningful if you support somebody who's saying something you don't like.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's easy to support free speech for things that agree with what you think. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are making the case that, look, the idea here is people will say everything, whatever they think, they'll say it publicly, and you can, use that as an opportunity to think about why it's wrong, why it's not right. Somebody sent me a great video from Christopher Hitchens explaining why it's important to support free speech, even if it's something that you just find morally repugnant. So I'm of the opinion we should stick around on Reddit. I'm not sure I agree with what Reddit's doing, frankly. I understand why they want to do it. They're a commercial enterprise. They kind of need to do it. But I think we should hear from our audience.
Yeah.
Do you want us to continue the subreddit? Is it a good idea for us to be there? Are we lending support to something that is not great? Or are we just going where the community is? It's a reddit.com/r/iOS today.
Yes, if you want to, if you've already pulled your support from Reddit, you don't go there anymore, you can email me at megan@twit.tv if you want to give your opinion about it. It's such a sticky issue because it's like there's not reprehensible content on our subreddit.
Right.
But we are, it's like just what's a real community versus what's an online community. There's people in our community that certainly disagree with me and have the same sort of reprehensible ideas, but I'm not leaving the community. But then, it's interesting. So,
I'm going back and forth. My first thought was, well, they should just shut down everything that's horrible and continue on. And most people who use Reddit never go to those places anyway, and will continue to use Reddit. But then I realized, who decides what's horrible?
That's what's complicated.
And, certainly it's okay to say nothing illegal. You can't have anything illegal on Reddit. You can't sell drugs on Reddit, that kind of thing. I don't have a problem with that. But people are saying pretty awful things. There's a lot of white supremacist traffic on Reddit, things like that. And I think that's morally repugnant.
Yeah.
But I think it's also important to support free speech. So I've come around to the idea that maybe Reddit should not crack down. There needs to be somewhere on the internet where people can say these horrible things so that you can say, what? Do I agree with that? No, I don't. Why don't I agree with that? For these reasons. That's important. We shouldn't all live in a world where everybody agrees. That's not the world.
Yes. And, I mean, this is what's happening at Google and Facebook and
all
these places. But they're more open to, like, we have all these advertisers. We don't like that. We're going to, you know, take it away. But it's happened, you know.
And we don't have free speech in our chat room. I mean, I'm not such a supporter of free speech that it should be everywhere. But I think it's reasonable to say that Reddit was based and formed and created to support as a bastion, in the words of Alexis Ohanian, as a bastion of free speech. Mm-hmm. I think maybe they need to keep doing that.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
We will see what happens. Okay, so in another news story, there was a story today about Apple Watch satisfaction.
Are you satisfied with your Apple Watch?
I am satisfied with my Apple Watch.
As an exercise device.
I use it as an exercise device. Yeah.
Used a Fitbit or a Jawbone or any of the other?
I had not.
Okay.
So this was my first. I don't have, you know, I can't say it's better than the Fitbit or the Jawbone. Right. It's better than my digital watch that I had at Target. I was always a watch wearer.
Right.
So I like controlling my music with it. And now I can have music on it and play it to a Bluetooth device. Like I can, you know, I see the future of it too. And I see that it's just going to get better. And I do really like it. If I I haven't forgotten it at home.
Right.
I think that's a sign. Like I put it on every morning.
Yeah, I couldn't care less. I'd leave it at home and never turn back. In fact, I brought it on the trip because I thought, well, this is a good chance to use some of the features, and it was great as a watch. The only thing I used it for, literally, was to see what time it was.
Yeah.
So my satisfaction, it's not that I'm dissatisfied, but it's hard for me to recommend it because I just don't think it's very useful. But everybody has a different use case.
Yeah.
And for instance, Adam Engst, who does the Tidbits and is a hardcore runner, says it's not enough of a sport watch. It's not enough of a fitness watch. He needs something more like the special runner's watches.
Yeah.
I
don't need that.
And you're a casual exerciser.
Yeah.
I think it's good for you. Lisa uses it that way as well.
Yeah, I use it in my yoga class.
Like, what does the survey say?
It says that 97% of Apple Watch users are satisfied.
Okay.
That's 1,000 people that they, I'll let Zach pull that up. It's 1,000 people that they talk to, 92% for first, the satisfaction for first generation iPhone was only 92% and 91% for the iPad.
So it's the highest satisfaction of any Apple device.
And if you scroll up, there's a little pie graph that shows who these people are. Are they tech enthusiasts?
Who are these people?
Are they non-tech people, which is really interesting. So the Tech Insider is the lighter blue, and the darker blue is the non-tech user.
The like your dad.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's
maybe your dad's a 34%er.
But, you know, and then the 4% is the media.
Media. That's us.
9%
How satisfied is the media?
Yeah, I don't think they took them individually, but it added up to 97%. But those are the kind of people that they talk to.
Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I love the notifications.
97%.
Yeah. But, you know, it's also like you bought it, you paid for it. And so, you're going to be.
We call that confirmation bias, that there's a little bit of bias in favor of something you already bought.
Right, yeah. Well, I know. I love being notified. I think it helps with, like, the fear of missing out, so you don't feel like you have to constantly check. But, you know, it can be distracting to be notified.
One thing I do agree with you, that there is a future for it. And as we mentioned, once you can put apps on here, I think it'll be very interesting to see how it's changed.
Yes.
For me, in the way I use it, and that's all you can say, for me and the way I use it, I don't need it. Mm-hmm. Or any smartwatch, by the way. The Android Wear watch, same problem. I don't find it useful.
Well, nobody needs it. I mean, if you're talking about need, we don't need it.
Well, I probably don't need running water either, but it's nice to have. Okay.
Well, it's also just like I like it. It adds to my life.
Right.
I mean, it's better than running water.
That's all it needs to be. Do I like it?
Yeah.
It's better than running water? Are you kidding?
No, it's not. I would choose running water over my Apple Watch.
I hope so.
Yes.
Because going to the well with a bucket is a lot of work.
Yes, so I've heard. Apple has released some new iPods.
This to me was bizarre. Explain this to me.
Well,
because we already know that nobody's buying iPods. The iPod sales have plummeted, but Apple has not released a new iPod since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Why now?
I don't know. Are people talking less on the phone now? I mean, because I think like my kids would be fine with an iPod. Like,
that's who I think it's for.
Yeah.
It's kids. Milo and Huck's age.
Right.
Maybe not Annabella.
Yeah,
she's almost 13.
She's
at the age, maybe that transition age where you do get a phone. But under 13, I think it's reasonable to say, look, this has the same camera. Mm-hmm. You can run the same apps. It's got Wi-Fi.
Right.
The only thing it doesn't have is the phone capability.
Right.
And maybe most importantly for Apple, it supports Apple Music.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're buying a family plan and you want Milo and Huck to be able to listen to that music, you might want to do that.
Yeah, I think it might be just that we really are talking less on the phone, like phones themselves.
Right. I mean, because
$400. Like that, you know.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's not.
That's the top of the line Apple iPod Touch mm-hmm. with 128 gigabytes of storage. $400.
Yeah. I don't think my kids would really like to have one, but I'm not sure.
Anybody over 13 probably has a phone.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to use.
Right. Yeah, I think
so
it's
got to be for the under 13 crowd.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. All right. Well, I have a question. Let's go back to the Apple Watch that Joe Oresti sent us. He said, I have discovered that there is no need to enter a passcode on the Apple Watch if you are patient and wait long enough after putting it on. Just put the watch on and ignore it, and eventually you can access all the watch functionality.
No.
I tried this.
Joe, you must have either a malfunctioning watch. It didn't work, did it?
No, he said that after a while, it just, he said about 15 or 20 minutes, he could use it. That's what he said. He said, is this a feature? Does Apple Watch recognize my wrist? No. I thought it was a bug, but you had a more
I think what's
answer.
Happening is, and maybe Joe didn't know this, that you unlock the Apple Watch in one of two ways. You can enter the four-digit code, or you can unlock your iPhone, and the watch, if it's paired to the iPhone, will say, oh, you unlocked it. In fact, that's what you need to do to use Apple Pay, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to use Apple Pay on the watch, you have to unlock it with your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now it's unlocked, and now I can use it. And so all I can think of, there's two possibilities. First of all, this is not Apple's intention. In fact, specifically because of Apple Pay, they really don't want this to be unlocked. Okay, without either a code or the phone unlocking.
Wait, so you saying that in order to use Apple Pay, you have to unlock it with your phone?
Yes.
I don't think that's true.
Are you sure?
I think that Apple Pay is separate from the phone. And I use Apple Pay without my phone.
Yeah, but that's because at some point...
I've set it up.
You unlocked it with your phone. You had to. I believe that's the case.
Hmm.
Now you can leave your phone at home and go use it.
Yeah.
Once you've unlocked it with your phone... But as soon as you take it off your wrist, boom, it stops working. That's because it needs to verify that you're you and the four-digit code is not sufficient.
So me, like Joe, we're never far enough away from our iPhone.
No, you can be as far as you want. You can leave this at home.
But in the morning,
But at some point, the first time you use your watch, the first time you put it on your wrist, you must unlock it. And if you want to use Apple Pay, you can use the watch in other respects, but if you want to use Apple Pay, you must unlock it with your phone.
So if my phone broke and I thought, oh, well, at least I can use...
That's my understanding.
Interesting. It makes sense. That would make sense. But
so
yeah, we can
I think what
that.
Joe probably didn't realize is
that
he's unlocking it with his phone.
And if
that's not the case, Joe, then you have a defective watch. Bring it back because that's not okay. You don't want somebody to steal your watch...
And just wait 20 minutes.
Wait 20 minutes and then buy crap.
Yeah. All right. You want to answer another question?
Ah, why not?
Okay. Actually, this is a tip from Michael from Camarillo, California. He says, I enjoyed last week's episode of iOS Today where you discussed the cheapest iOS device covers. That was what I was talking about with the glitter. I, too, have one that I'd like to share. I enjoy floating in my pool and reading on my iPad and Kindle, but how to make sure your device
That's
does
scary.
Not get wet... I found the solution. I use a Ziploc bag for either the iPad or the Kindle, and it protects my device cheaply, I might add, and still allows me
work,
to use
though?
The touchscreen.
You can.
He says he uses the touchscreen on the Kindle or the... Yeah,
okay. The Kindle is not so important because it has physical buttons.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize you could use the touch through a plastic
Michael
bag.
Michael says you can.
Nice idea. Okay. They do make special... expensive bags for that purpose.
But then you can, So I've got one more question. This is from Jason. He works at the Bozeman Public Library.
Oh,
it's the technology instruction. Yes.
Fabulous place.
He says, thank you for your amazing show, which is educational and entertaining. I teach free technology classes at the Bozeman Public Library in beautiful Bozeman, Montana. I was teaching a class about the Apple Camera app and Photos app and received a question I have not been able to answer. A patron asked if iCloud photo sharing worked over a cellular connection, and if so, could a person unwittingly dent a recipient's data plan by sharing a large photo album? Apple says iCloud photo sharing does work.
You have to turn that on.
But says nothing about the person on the receiving end.
Yeah. So if you want to use iCloud for photos, and you turn it on, you can, I think by default, let me look here on iCloud. Actually, is it up in the cellular? Let me see if it's in cellular. There's somewhere where you have to say use cellular data. The default is not to use cellular data for iCloud. But I'm not sure where that is. I'm looking in here. Well, now it says for iCloud Drive, you see here. I think this affects all of iCloud, including the photo sharing. So if you go to your iCloud settings here and you click iCloud Drive, you'd think it'd be in photos, but you click iCloud Drive at the bottom. And I have it turned on because as we were traveling, I did want to use cellular data sometimes. But I believe the default is off.
So I think his question is, what if I share a big photo library with my friend and they look at it? Are they using up there?
It won't share with them until they're on Wi-Fi unless they have explicitly turned on use cellular data.
Okay.
So if they've turned it on, they're kind of saying, okay. And Apple transfers a lot of data, not just photos, but all sorts of stuff, as you can see here, including passwords and email and stuff. It will not use cellular data unless you turn it on.
So you can only share it with someone who's also on iCloud. So that person needs to have turned it on.
I believe.
So if you are going to be sending a big photo library to someone, tell them turn off cellular data.
Yeah,
and
you'll see it says here automatically upload new photos and send them to all of your iCloud devices when connected to Wi-Fi. It doesn't even allow you to use cellular data in the upload to photo stream. I have to presume that it honors that setting about whether you use cellular data or not in the iCloud settings. So I think that's certainly something to be aware of.
Right.
If you have limited cellular data, there are many. But I have to say, now that I've traveled with an iPhone, I'm really impressed. The latest version of iOS gives you some really granular capabilities in terms of cellular data. For instance, if you turn on cellular, this unfortunately is a Wi-Fi only iPad, so I don't know what this is going to look like if I do it. But if I turn on data roaming, it's not going to show me anything. But on an iPhone, for instance, you can not only turn off data roaming. Of course, as you travel, that's the safest thing to do. But let's say you do want to use data roaming, but you only want to use it for Apple Maps. On an iPhone, you can do that. You can actually go into the settings and say data roaming on cell only for these applications. I'll show you on my phone because I know it does it there. It shows you which apps you're going to use cellular data for. Now, I've got them all turned on, and of course, that's the default. But as you travel, and again, I'll reiterate, the best thing to do in general is turn off data roaming. You can hardly see that, can you? Let me turn the brightness down a little bit. The best thing to do is to say, turn off data roaming. But, for instance, my daughter's in Spain right now. She says, but Dad, she says, I need to use data roaming for messages and maps. So I said, fine, go through these and turn off cellular data for everything but messages and maps. It'll even tell you how much data you've used on your roaming. And that's really, really handy. This is a relatively new feature in iOS, and it's great for travelers. So do take advantage of this granularity. I wonder, now let's go here and see if Photos has an entry. That would be the best thing, right? Yes, it does. So you can even turn off this setting on Photos, and that will say, if you're worried about using cellular data, never use cellular data for Photos. All right? Yeah. So that's another way to do it. That's in the cellular section.
Thank you, Jason. Yeah. All right, we want to hear from you. You can email us at iostoday@twit.tv. You can also call us at 757-504-iPad. And you can send
You've memorized the number since we talked last.
A little, maybe. I have it here. I knew where to find it on here. And for now, you can participate in our subreddit.
I think we're going to stay there, unless we get an overwhelming vote or people just stop using it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
The problem is I don't know where else we would go. What else does the same thing?
No place else does the same, unless we created another community here.
No. I mean, we could use Google Plus or something like that, but I think really there's nothing like
right.
Subreddit.
Facebook?
They're really great.
I don't know. Yeah. Facebook. All right, well...
it's time to take a break, and then our app caps?
Yes,
I've got a good one for you. But first, let's talk about Gazelle. I know you see these new iPods, and you're saying, I can't wait to get rid of my iPhone and buy a new iPod. Who needs an iPhone? Well, the place to get rid of your iPhone is not your desk drawer, not Cousin Vinny, but Gazelle.com. They'll buy your old iPhone, your old iPad, your Samsung or Kindle, or they'll even buy, you know, the Kindle Fire tablets. They'll even buy the Microsoft Surface tablets, give you top dollar. At least do yourself this favor. Go there right now and get a quote. Those quotes are locked in for 30 days. And I tell you, the quote won't go down, but I can guarantee you the price, the value of that device is going to go down. They all do. So get the quote today. And don't just get one device. Look in that drawer. Find out what else you don't need. Sell it all to Gazelle. Get top dollar. They'll pay the postage on anything worth more than a buck. They'll turn it around fast. They'll even wipe the data if you forget to. Plus, they'll send you a check. They'll send you PayPal credit. Or if you use Amazon a lot, get the Amazon gift card because they bump the value of that 5%. Now, you might wonder what happens to the stuff you sell to Gazelle. Well, the very best stuff, they sell to others. Yes, you can now buy at Gazelle. They have two conditions, certified like new and certified good. Great prices, certified good, some gentle signs of wear, but they're all guaranteed to work. They put them through a rigorous 30-point inspection to make sure every device that they sell at Gazelle is fully functional, and they're always backed by a 30-day risk-free guarantee. Great way to save money. If you need a new phone, your kids broke their phone or tablet, gazelle.com. Sell and buy the fast and simple way with Gazelle.
We're wearing hats.
I can't believe it's butter.
You know, it was so nice of Georgia and Renee to
Did they wear hats?
They wore hats. Renee just had a regular baseball cap, and I was like, that's not crazy
enough.
What
did Georgia wear?
She wore an Indiana Jones hat the first time and a Thor hat the second time.
Oh, yeah.
So,
she's a comic book fan.
She will be back.
That's cute. That's great.
But, yeah, I made Renee turn his hat to the side, so it was a little... And he did it, and he looked great. Really?
Yeah. Well, so do you.
Thanks. So do you.
Thank you.
So this is where we wear hats and talk about our favorite apps, except I don't have an app. I have a thing.
What is it? I have a thing, too. It's Thing Day.
Yeah, it's Thing Day. App thing. This is the Jam Spot by Bracketron. And do you think it's a hammer? Or what do you think it is?
I think it's a wedge that you could jam into something if you get in a spot.
No, it's jamming like rockin'.
Oh, rockin' jams. Yeah.
This is an iPad stand, which is also a Bluetooth speaker.
Oh, that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. It's $70, so it better be cool. But you just set your iPad or your iPhone in it. And it
has a adjustable angle.
Yeah, adjustable. You could fit. Yeah.
And the speakers are in front.
Yes, and it connects with Bluetooth. So let's play some music.
Let's play some jams, as the kids say.
Yeah, some jams in this spot. Here we go.
I like your taste in music.
You too.
Yeah.
Apple helps me.
Shut up and dance. That's the playlist we're gonna listen to.
I think that is. Yeah.
All right. Turn it up. Oh yeah, that's why. Now we gotta. Sound effects. Play it. Oh. Now, is it coming out of here?
It. No, it's not connected yet. So, here's a little lesson on how to connect things by Bluetooth. the Jam Spot, not connected. Let's connect that.
All right. So that's what it sounds like out of the little tiny speaker on the back of your iPad.
Yes, that's what, yeah.
Nobody's going to be dancing to that.
No, we're not going to be dancing to
that. We want to have a dance party.
And you know, maybe I should turn off the music while we're waiting for this to go.
You know, sometimes you can just slide that up.
I can.
And choose to play it to the Jam Spot in the end. No, sorry.
Mm.
Nope. Well, we'll just pause for a moment. Have you listened to Beats 1 music at all?
I have listened to Beats 1 music. I think it's okay. It's not exact. I've come to just like exactly what I like when I like it.
Yeah.
That's the thing
that puzzles me is it was Apple that taught us that, right?
Yes.
Bring your music with you.
Right.
1,000 songs in your pocket. You don't need to listen to a DJ play the songs you don't want.
But they're giving us another option.
Yeah, a DJ that plays songs you don't want.
Yes. But there's a program that I do like on Beats, St. Vincent's Mixtape Delivery Service. Have you listened to that?
Oh, but I like the name. Who's St. Vincent?
She is the singer. She has music that I never heard of before, but
why you listen to the radio, right?
Yes.
To hear new stuff.
Right. But she has a program, and she prepares mixtapes for people. And the first one was one that she prepared for an 11-year-old girl that wanted to dance, and it was like all this 80s music, and it's great. And she interviewed her, and she talked to her,
and then
they played the music. So, yeah. So that kind of stuff I really like.
Even the concept of a mixtape is kind of a little bit retro.
You know what I forgot to do?
What?
Turn it on.
Oh. Can't pair if you're not on. Oh.
There we go.
Hello.
Now it's connected. I turned it off to save the battery. So you charge it, and that's 10 hours of audio.
Internal battery. Okay.
Lithium
ion.
So then let's listen.
Play Beats 1.
Okay, let's play some Beats 1.
I love Beats 1.
Let's listen now.
It's a great radio station.
So now it is playing. Yeah, now it's playing. We should not do that much of that. Beats 1 is appropriate for, so we're not going to play anything.
It's not a super rich, deep bass.
No.
But it's louder.
Yes.
Clearer.
Yeah, and it's you know what it's great for? Listening to, watching movies.
Right.
Or
that's
any kind of video. If you're,
for,
like, it's in bed and you're set up or, you know, you're watching it with a group of people. But
how much? $70?
$70, but it's really easy to travel with, too. So.
And it's the wedgie?
It's the jam spot, the Bracketron jam spot.
The Bracketron jam
spot.
So,
yeah, really easy to, right in the kitchen. You know, when you like, you have recipes and music, or if you want to like,
you must have, it's where your echo is too. You must have a cacophonous kitchen.
I do. Yes, yes. And yesterday on the Screensavers, we were discussing about having the Echo talk to Siri, and I tried that last night.
Could you?
It was a cacophony. They talk over each other. It's not.
It's so
fun.
Rude.
And I was gonna bring. I thought that would
it's
be a
like
good
us.
Feature to. Yes, exactly. Are you Siri or are you?
No,
Alexa?
I'll be Alexa today.
Okay.
How about that? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just talk over each other.
Here's what I found on the web for you, Leo.
By the way, you were great on the Screensavers yesterday.
Oh,
we got to do that.
You
again.
Were great on the Screensavers.
So
it was really fun.
I missed
fun.
That show.
Okay, so what's your app, Kat?
So every car sold in the last 15 years has an OBD2 port. It is you can actually find it in most cases under the steering wheel, and it's there for the technician at the auto shop to plug into the computer and diagnose it. But it, by law, has been made available to consumers as well. So you can go on the market and buy. This is kind of a typical one. This is a $60 OBD2 device called the OBD Link. And what it does is it actually is a Bluetooth device. It will talk to your phone or your tablet and tell it stuff about what's going on in the car. Well, there was nothing for iOS. All of these things work with Android. Until a company called Automatic, I think they had a Kickstarter project, and they created the Automatic dongle. Now, I reviewed it when it first came out, and I was a little disappointed. It was $99 instead of, say, $40 to $50 for the more traditional OBD dongle, and it didn't do as much. But over the years, it's gotten better and better, and now I'm very happy to be using it. And if you're an iPhone user, this is, as far as I know, the only way to do it. It's called Automatic. You'll have to buy the $99 dongle. It isn't hard to plug this in.
What does it
literally
plug into?
Just plugs into this port that's underneath your steering wheel in almost all modern cars.
And I just pull off something and stick it in? You don't have to,
it's sitting
it's
there.
Just, it's open
just
to me.
Pop it in. You'll say, I didn't know that was there.
Yeah.
Now, here's the automatic software, and I'm going to run it. It's iPhone only. But it tells you an awful lot of stuff that's very useful. For instance,
like where you've been.
Like where you are right now. That's where I am right now. But it also tells you how much that trip cost. Because it knows what kind of car you're driving. It knows how much gasoline costs. And it will even do things like warn you if you do hard braking or hard acceleration. One of the main reasons you'd use this for is to become a better, more economical driver. So it helps you become a better driver. And it gives you even a score on your trip. But it's also, I think, great to know that 2-mile trip from work, from home to work, costs 56 cents. You kind of lose track of that, even with the expensive cost of gasoline. You kind of forget how much it costs just to go down a few miles.
You should ride your Segway to work.
Yeah, that wouldn't cost as much. It'll also tell you if there are any problems. If the check engine light comes on, it'll say what's going on. All of these are features that are provided by the OBD port, and this is just an interface to it. It uses Bluetooth LE, which is nice. It bonds, pairs very quickly, much more quickly. And there are even more apps. This is one of the things that kind of turned me around on this. There's a new app called License Plus. It's for teenagers. I know Annabella is going to be learning to drive in just a couple of years. It is a coach that uses the automatic to get you to be a better driver. It tells it has lessons. It teaches your daughter about driving, about acceleration, about hard braking, all of that. It even has some geofencing built in, so you can tell if your daughter's gone beyond where you allow her
out of the house
to go,
for example.
This is, yes, out of the house would be a good start. This License Plus is one of many programs now that work with the automatic. This has a 100-hour program to hone your driving skills, they call it. They also will work with If This Then That. So you can set up a script that says, you know, if my engine light goes off, send an email to my mechanic and say, come get my car. You could turn notifications on or off, and it'll give you information about what you're doing. For instance, it'll beep at me when I brake too hard. I can set my speed limit if I go 70s too low. I guess that's not adjustable. On some of these other devices, you can make it a little bit higher. But the automatic, that was actually one of the things I didn't like about it. I want to go faster than 70.
And the
OBD
area. Link lets you do that?
Yeah, I have it set for 80 on this. But this is, again, this is the only choice you have if you're an iPhone user. And I think it's really cool. I think it's a really great thing to have. Lots more information about what's going on in your car, how much it's costing you, how you're driving, and a tie-in to a whole bunch of interesting apps that take advantage of the information being provided by the automatic. This is called Automatic. And you can find it at automatic.com. You do have to buy the hardware. That's $99. But the app is for free. If you're a fleet manager, you ought to have these on every single truck.
Yeah.
Or every single car in your fleet. There's expense stuff. FreshBooks actually works with this, which is kind of cool.
Huh.
You could tie your mileage in and automatically invoice.
Sense.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That's a big market.
Yeah,
people really want it when you get paid for driving.
Xero, which is another online accounting solution, also works with this. If This Then That. You can even see your driving in context of fitness goals, like stop driving, start walking.
Yeah. I sometimes leave my run tracker on. The Apple Watch doesn't do it, but my run does leave it on while I'm driving. And then it's, I left it on in the back.
And
it
thinks you went hundreds of miles.
Yeah, hundreds of miles.
At a great speed.
Probably with this.
Your Nest thermostat, when you get in the car and head for home, the automatic will tell your Nest, turn up the heat. Here comes Megan.
Where you parked?
Where you parked on your Pebble? Lots of good stuff.
I love this.
Isn't this cool?
It is great.
So it all starts with getting the information out of your car. It's in there, and federal law in the United States requires car manufacturers to make that accessible to consumers through the OBD port. So there you go.
They should.
If you're on iOS, this is, I think, your only choice. I do want to say, as a consumer service, if you have an Android device, you might want to look at the less expensive and more capable Dash. That's the program. And this is one of many devices Dash recommends. This is a standard, so it's works with a lot of different hardware. Automatic.
Awesome.
That's it for
today. That is it.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either.
We survived. I didn't fall off the show or anything. Many people don't know, but we do this show 18 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The studio's way down there, and I live in petrified and in constant fear that I'm going to fall off this stage. But so far, nothing's happened. Make sure you tune in next week, just in case I do.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. See you next time on iHeart.